Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to love and see each other the way you love and see us. Come.
My heart is always longing for something more. I search the stars to knock on heaven's door. Creation groans for God to be revealed. And everyone, every will be healed. My eyes on the sun. Lord, your will be done. Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. Forever and ever, he finished our story. We're singing freedom, our testimony. We'll be singing forever.
Cannot let the problems of the world get you down so much that you forget that this is only temporary. You were created for something so much bigger, so much greater. But if all you see is what you see, then you do not see all there is to be seen. Oh, there's so much more that life has in store for you. Don't give up now. You're almost there. You're closer than you ever been before. Talk to him, B. Come on.
And if you've ever wondered what heaven looks like,
come on.
Looking like
you know what you've spoken. I'm already loved more than I could imagine.
That the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening here with us to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, November the 19th, 2023. I am so excited for today's service. I can barely speak. But today, as always, you need to know that I am Apostle Shalene Cook. I'm blessed to be the woman of God of this assembly. But as always, I am joined by my beautiful and most beloved family in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver. And then we have our beautiful elders, hallelujah, our watchmen on the wall. We have Brother Lee Larson and Sister Terry Larson. And then I have my two beautiful spiritual aunts, Aunt Nita and Aunt Linda in the house. So on behalf of all of us, we would like to welcome you to this morning's service. And we truly pray that not only do you hear something that will uplift your spirit, we pray that you will hear something that will bless your soul. So at this time, we will be going to opening prayer with our very own Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, giving you all the honor, the thanks, and the glory for this beautiful day you've given us to come together as a spiritual family to worship you, to honor you, and like I mentioned, give you all the praise and the glory. We ask that you lift up Bishop Carver today as he delivers our message of hope,
Lord.
And for you, Christ. And we're so thankful that he is here to deliver the message today. May it touch
Lord.
Our heart, our body, our mind, and our spirit to be one with you, Heavenly Father. I ask and I say these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Everything.
And glory to God. I don't know about you, but I am very happy just to know that I'm his child. Glory to God. It is now time for this morning's reading. And every Sunday morning, we ask the highly esteemed and most beloved mother of this assembly to come and read to you from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So my brothers and sisters, please give your undivided attention now to the woman of this assembly, or the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen, and good morning to you all. I am so blessed to be here this morning. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or how far you are. The meditational reading this morning is entitled, A Brand New Body at the Blast of a Trumpet. We'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. And it reads, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, all over the world, Jews celebrate Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, occurring usually in the month of September. The feast is celebrated with the blowing of trumpets, though so far of ram's horns. That is why it is also called the Feast of Trumpets. The Jews observe seven feasts, the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. The first four have been fulfilled literally by Jesus. He was the Passover lamb. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, the bread of life, John 6 and 35, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. And when Pentecost had fully come after his ascension, he sent us the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, 1 through 4. So the next feast that we are waiting for Jesus to fulfill literally is the Feast of Trumpets. Why is this feast significant to us? Because when Jesus fulfills it, it means that we are going up to meet him in the clouds. I am talking about the rapture of the church. When the trumpet sounds in the twinkling of an eye, we who are alive will be changed. We will put on new bodies that will be like Jesus' body. Those who are dead in Christ will rise and also receive new bodies. They will go up first, followed by those who are alive. And we will all meet the Lord in the air. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 55. This means that there is a possibility that you might not see death. The Bible says, when we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17. It is one thing to happen to be alive, but quite another to remain alive. I believe that there is a generation of Christians who know the resurrection power of the Lord. They know how to walk in their inheritance and put off the sickness and death until the coming of the Lord. May you be counted as one of them as you take the Lord Jesus and his finished work as your victory over sickness and death. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for the day, when the trumpet sounds, we who are alive will put on new bodies like Jesus' body. Amen and glory to God.
God never said, only the pure in heart will be able to see God. In his word, you must abide in order to one day be by his side.
My brother,
if you live right. If you live, heaven belongs. How many of you want a piece of heaven? Yes, 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 my brother. You want to pray right? Pray unselfishly. Let's stay right there. Heaven belongs.
Heaven belongs.
God's way or no way at all. Heaven belongs. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Heaven belongs to you.
Heaven belongs to you.
Hallelujah. 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 God's way. No way at all. Yes. Woo. Heaven belongs.
Heaven belongs.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is now time for prayer. It's prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is very, very, this is the most important time of this service, because this is when we serve our brothers and sisters by standing in the gap, praying for the issues and the concerns of our hearts. This is a time when we pray for those who are sick, those who are hopeless, those who are helpless, those, hallelujah, that just needs to hear a word of encouragement from the Lord. So right now, my brothers and sisters, I would like for you to stop everything that you're doing. Give Jesus your undivided attention as you go to prayer with the mighty woman of God, our very own Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God bless each and every one of you. We praise God for all that has gone forth so far. We're going to go into prayer again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we come to you once again in prayer, lifting up petitions and all kinds of situations and circumstances to you, God, because we know that you are more than able.
Yes.
So we lift up those all over the world that are suffering, that
yes,
are in
Lord.
Situations where it seems hopeless for them. We know, Lord, that it is not hopeless because of you. We thank
yes,
you for your love
you,
for the whole world, for everyone.
Yes.
We thank you for your love today more than anything, because you
yes,
certainly
yes.
have proven your love for us, and you continue on a daily basis. We thank you. We thank you this morning for your presence among us.
We thank you that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that we are yours, that we belong to you, and you are our God. So we come to you this morning, hallelujah, asking, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, in a supernatural way, God. Move in a miraculous way over all of these situations, Lord, hallelujah, that the world is encountering. Hallelujah. We lift up those that are suffering today. Through natural disasters, through wars and floodings and fires and all these disasters also that are caused by man. We lift it up to you, God, in the name of Jesus, because we know that we can count on you. We know that we can depend upon you, hallelujah, to move situations. So we lift them up to you, Lord. We lift up, hallelujah, the people that are suffering from the wars and continuing to suffer from violence. We lift up those that are oppressed today, those that are going through depressions. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we come against that spirit of suicide that is so rampant now. We come against it in the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We pull down strongholds this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. We come against all the demonic forces, hallelujah, that are oppressing and depressing your people. Hallelujah. We come against those things in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We lift up those that are continuing to suffer in their grief from the loss of their loved ones. We ask, Lord, that you would heal them in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Those that have had other losses, the loss of their homes, in the name of Jesus. Those that are struggling, hallelujah, trying to make it through the things that are continuing to happen, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And we pray for them, Lord. We pray, hallelujah. We pray for your healing. We pray for deliverance this morning. We pray for breakthroughs, those that are in need of a breakthrough. We lift them up this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would move in their behalf in Jesus' name, that things will begin to change, hallelujah, because many will be turning their lives over to you and realizing, Lord, that you are their hope.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, do it, God, in Jesus' name. We're trusting you, hallelujah. We believe in you, hallelujah. We have faith in you, God, hallelujah. We know that you will make a difference. We thank you for those, Lord, that have been set free of bondage. We thank you, Lord, for those that have been captured and brought out of human trafficking. We thank you for their being released from these situations, Lord. But there are yet more, hallelujah, that are still locked into these situations. We ask, Lord, for freedom this morning, that you would set them free, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that you will bring them out, but not just bring them out, Lord. Hallelujah, but bring them to you, God. In the name of Jesus, that they will turn their lives over to you. In the name of Jesus, that they will truly be set free, God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because you're the one that can set them free. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you would move in this situation. Those that are continuing to be abused, we pray for their freedom. Hallelujah. From these situations. Hallelujah. And that their lives will be changed because of you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because they will turn to you. We're praying that they will turn to you, God, for their help in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And those, Lord, that are suffering from starvation, those that don't have food, those that are without shelter, those that are without their basic needs being fulfilled, we pray that you will come to their aid. We thank you for those that are reaching out, Lord, for those that are helping, for those that are sending, and for those that are going out, hallelujah, and serving those that are without. We thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We thank you,
Lord.
We're trusting you, Lord, for the ones
thank
that
you.
Are yet suffering. We pray,
yes,
Lord, that you will bring them out of their situations in the name of
yes.
Jesus. The
yes.
name of Jesus. And we're thanking you in advance, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
For which you're
yes.
going
yes.
to do. We thank you for what you have already done and for what you're
yes,
yet
Lord.
Going to do.
Yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will send those into the hospitals. Hallelujah. To minister to the needs of the people. Hallelujah. Not just their physical needs, Lord, but their spiritual needs as well. In the name of Jesus, that they will be touched. Hallelujah. That they will turn to you, God. And we pray
yeah.
for the doctors, the nurses, hallelujah,
yeah.
the other health workers. We pray for them that you will touch their hearts, that you will give them more love and compassion. Hallelujah, for those that they are taking care of, those that they are helping, those that they are providing medical needs to. We pray for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, that they will, hallelujah, not only do their work, Lord, but that they will see, hallelujah, you working in these situations as well. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We lift up the entire world. Hallelujah. We lift up the political situations right now, Lord, because only yes. you can straighten them out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord, that you will touch the corrupt leaders. Hallelujah. That many will change their lives. Hallelujah. That they will see things different. Hallelujah. They will desire even a better way. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you today. We lift up our loved ones. We lift up the unsaved. We lift up those that have not yet accepted you, God. We pray that your Holy Spirit will draw them today unto you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for
yes,
what you're doing.
Yes.
We lift up
yes,
our own ministries today. We lift up them. We ask, Lord, that you would move, hallelujah, in these situations. Hallelujah. We pray that you would open up doors. We pray that you will allow your leaders, hallelujah, to touch your people in a different way, God. Hallelujah. That they will have more love and more compassion
yes,
in the name
Lord
of
God.
Jesus.
Yes, sir.
They will be more obedient to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you,
yes.
Lord. Hallelujah. That many are, hallelujah, are changing. Hallelujah. But there are many
Jesus.
More, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. That need to make the change, that need to be more obedient to you, God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
To want to do your will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We lift up Spirit of Life Ministries this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would
bless
continue
you.
To bless as
yes,
you always
Lord.
Do.
Yes,
lift
Lord.
Up the leader.
Bless
lift up Apostle Shirley Cook.
You.
We ask, Lord, that you would
yes,
continue to pour into her, that you would continue
bless
to strengthen her, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank
bless
you,
her, Lord.
Thank
in the name
you.
Of
thank
Jesus
you,
for all that she does
thank
and all
you,
that she pours out. Hallelujah.
Glory,
on a
Lord.
Daily basis. We ask, Lord, that you would bless her. Hallelujah. That you will
glory,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes. In the name
hallelujah.
Of
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Jesus.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
In the
yes.
name of Jesus.
Yes.
Abundance. Hallelujah. Do exceedingly
yes.
abundantly. Above all that we could ever think of or ask. And we thank you
yes,
for it,
Lord.
Thank you.
Yes,
if
Lord.
There are any problems today, we ask, Lord, for your healing virtues, hallelujah, to flow in the
yes.
name of Jesus, in Jesus'
amen.
Name. Hallelujah. Those that need a breakthrough, hallelujah,
yes.
we call it. We call it in, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We call in
yes.
these things, hallelujah, that we don't yet see, hallelujah, but we call them as they are. Hallelujah, because we
hallelujah.
Believe you, God.
Bless the Lord.
We believe
bless
that
the
situation
Lord.
Circumstances are already taken care of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for the prayers that you answer. Hallelujah. We thank you for the times, hallelujah, that you answer us before the prayer is even prayed.
We thank
you
for what you're doing in this ministry. We thank you for what you're doing in all the ministries, hallelujah, that are represented today on Spirit Floor.
Bless you, hallelujah.
We thank you that we do have more than enough. Hallelujah. We thank you that we are able to accomplish all the things that you give us to do. We thank you for that point. And we praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we pray for those, Lord, that are going to accept you today. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Those that have made up their minds to come.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
As you beckon them to come. Hallelujah. That they are ready. Hallelujah. Ready for their salvation. Hallelujah. That is so freely given. We thank you for them on this day. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen.
Amen.
New direction. Gray Boys. D. Lawrence. Choir music. It's a Chicago thing. When they what? That's right, y'all. Tell them about it.
This morning's message. And my brothers and sisters, if you have never joined us before, then you are in, I'm here to tell you, you are in for a treat. Because our speaker today is my brother, and he is a man of God that I am honored to be in the service with. He is a man after God's own heart, and his desire is that you be changed and transformed. So right now, my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles because you will need them. Get something to write with and to write on because the man of God will drop some nuggets on you.
Yeah.
And be prepared to receive our speaker of the hour, the mighty man of God, Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Apostle Cook, thank you for that. Amen. Open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, God. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth. God, Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for our physical wholeness and for our spiritual deliverance from sin. God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you place within us so that we could operate in power and believe and bring forth signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth so that we can draw many unto you. Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us so that we may not sin against you, but we can walk boldly and confidently knowing what you have called us to do. Father, I thank you for this word today, teaching someone, freeing someone, delivering someone, empowering someone, and strengthening someone, and encouraging someone. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, today, the message is going to be that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's interesting because many times we hear certain things in the church, we hear certain things in the Bible, and they sound like riddles and they sound like puzzles, but God is speaking to things that have actually happened. And he's also speaking about things that are actually going to happen. And when you hear something like the first shall be last and the last shall be first, it should cause you to think, it should cause you to Google. Go to your phone, your computer, and say the first shall be last and the last shall be first, and put scripture after that, and you'll find what the word has to say about that particular item in your personal study. Today, we're going to be discussing the first being last and the last being first because it has to do with the kingdom of heaven, but it also has to do with us prioritizing the things of the spirit over the things of the flesh. When I think about this, and when we look at this, after everything that we see in the word today, what we're going to see is what God says to us in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, where he says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And really, he starts in verse 8 where he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Yeah. Now, the reason this is so important is because many times as people, when we are leaning to our own understanding and we're trying to understand what God is doing, we are making the mistake of judging God. And we are determining that if we were God, we would do things differently. And this is never going to help you. It's going to make your situation worse, because what God has in store for you is so much greater than what it is you feel you deserve, what it is you feel that you have earned. And that is one of the reasons why we're never to compare ourselves to others. We're never to elevate ourselves above others or diminish ourselves below others, because it's only the presence of God that makes a difference. It is God's favor upon our life that is going to bring us all that God has for us. But one of the things I wanted to share one of the things that made me think of this whole topic about the first being last and the last being first was I was studying in the book of Numbers, and I was in Numbers chapter 32, and I would really just say that you can go there in your personal study time and read Numbers chapter 32, because it's speaking of two of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and they were about to cross over the Jordan into the promised land, into the land of Canaan that God had promised to them. But this was after the first group of Israelites had been brought to the promised land by Moses, and they did not believe to enter in. And God sent them out into the wilderness for 40 years to die off so that only two of those would remain, Caleb and Joshua, and they would go into the promised land after all the people who didn't believe to enter into God's promise had died off. So now they're back at the Jordan, and they're on the east side of the Jordan, about to enter into the promised land. And when they're on the east side of the Jordan, there are these two tribes of the 12 tribes, Reuben and Gad. And they said to themselves, well, goodness, we have a lot of livestock. And we have, in this land that we're standing on right here, on this side of the Jordan, on the east side of the Jordan, is a great place for us to raise our livestock. Why don't we just take this, and then the rest of y'all could go over the Jordan and fight the Canaanites and retain your land, your inheritance. We'll take this right here. And really, the problem with that was they were only looking out for themselves. And Moses spoke to him, and he said, wait a minute, because what they were really asking was, don't take us over the Jordan. They were really just repeating the sinful, unbelieving ways of their forefathers that led them out into the wilderness to die in the previous 40 years in the first place, not wanting to enter over into the promise of God where they were going to have to fight, where they were going to have to war, where they were going to have to trust in God to actually deliver the land that he promised to them into their hands. Mm-hmm. And they said, take this right here. And Moses spoke to them, and he said, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here, while you just stay here? You're going to be the first to enter into your promise, and yet you're not going to help your brethren enter into their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan? And so he said, Moses said to them, why are you discouraging the heart of your brethren by saying, we're not going to go over there. We'll take this right here. This is good enough for us, and good luck getting the rest of the inheritance on the other side of the Jordan, right? And that way of thinking is so carnal, and yet it is how the devil destroys us and then uses us to destroy one another, because we begin measuring how blessed we are based on the stuff we have, or when we have it, or where we live, or where we got it, or our education, and where we went to school, and where we didn't get to school, or whoever we belong to in terms of all this nonsense. And God says, hey, I'm looking at your heart, and your heart is not trusting me. Your heart is not serving me. Your heart is not obeying me, and your heart is not pleasing me. So let's get this right. And so they come back to Moses, and they said, you know what? We still think this land is good. We'll take this land. We'll promise you that we're going to cross over the Jordan. So God was going to have to part the Jordan, and they were going to have to follow the Ark of the Covenant and the priests, and then they were going to have to take all of the men. They said, you know what? All of our men of war, we're going to take our men of war after we build our cities and we have a place for our livestock and our children and women are safe over here on this side of the Jordan. Then we're going to go over with our brethren and we will help them fight to get their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan, on the west side of the Jordan, until all have received their inheritance. Then we'll come back and occupy what we have already received on this side of the Jordan. And so when you say the first will be last and the last shall be first, this is a good visual example of what actually happened during this time, because when they were negotiating for this great land for cattle, Moses said, you're not going to do this in opposition to the purpose of God. Because he said, if I let you have this land and you don't go over and help your brethren fight for their land, it's going to discourage them. It's going to make them think, why didn't we just take the land on the other side where we didn't have to fight or do anything, right? And it's that kind of selfishness that we can't have in our heart and in our mind when we're serving God, because we are all connected. We are all one body. And so it says that, you know, yeah. One of the things that Moses told them, he said, if you turn away from following God and you'll end up in that same place of those people who perished in the wilderness during the 40 days, and you're going to destroy these people you're sending over into the other side because you decide to take your inheritance now, right? So they said, you know what? We're going to make a deal. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take this land here, and then we're going to send our men of war over with them and help them fight until all of the brethren obtain their inheritance. And then we're going to come back and occupy our cities right here. And Moses said, you know what? If you do this, this is good. This will work out. This is a deal. But if you don't do this, then you're not going to get this land, and you're going to have to go over and occupy the land of the Canaanites. And so they agreed. They had an agreement. And that's part of what we're going to read about today, is an agreement that occurs in this example of the first being last and the last being first. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible, and it's going to be Jesus Christ speaking about a parable about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And this is important because time and order and sequence is all a part of this. And remember what we said earlier about the ways of God not being our ways, the thoughts of God not being our thoughts. Mm-hmm. 55:8-9, it said, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So it's all about us submitting to the will of God. And now what I want to look at here is in Matthew chapter 20, speaking about the parables of the workers in the vineyard. And this is Jesus Christ speaking this parable to his disciples. And so he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out. And so I want to stop right there for a minute. So the landowner went out early in the day, early in the morning, to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, he is hiring these laborers, and he enters into an agreement with these people, these laborers, to work for a denarius a day. Now, a denarius is equal to one day's wage. And so they said, that sounds right. We'll agree to labor in your vineyard for one day, for one day's wage. But this is at the beginning of the day. This is early in the morning, closer to 6 o'clock in the morning, beginning of the workday. Now, it's interesting here because, you know, this landowner, the owner of the vineyard, is like God in this scenario. He's the one who owns the vineyard. And he went out and he hired these people early in the day, and they agreed. And now they're going to get to work. So they're working. Verse 3 says, and he, the landowner, he went out about the third hour of the day. Now, the third hour of the day is about 6 o'clock in the morning. So he started at 6 a.m. The first group of people who agreed to work for a denarius a day, they started at 6 a.m. But about the third hour of the day, about 9 a.m., the landowner, he went out, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So a bunch of guys are just standing out in the marketplace doing nothing. And he said to them, hey, you also go into my vineyard, and whatever is right, I'll give you at the end of the day. And so they went. Now, I want to point out a difference between the first group of people who agreed to work for a day's wages at the beginning of the day and this next group of people who 3 hours later started, they got the call to come work 3 hours later, about 9 o'clock in the morning. And they didn't agree on a set amount. They didn't agree for a denarius, one day's wage. The landowner, the owner of the vineyard, just said to them, hey, you work for me today, and at the end of the day, I'll give you what's right. And they went. They trusted the landowner to pay them what was fair, what was right at the end of the day. They didn't agree on a set amount. But once again, they knew they weren't working for the whole day either, right? So now verse 5 says, again, he, the landowner, went out about the sixth hour of the day. So he's gone out about noon, about lunchtime. And he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour of the day, so 3 o'clock. He goes out at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. He goes out at 3 p.m. Now it's getting close to the end of the day. And he went out at the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour. So when it says he did the same thing, he found these idle guys standing in the marketplace doing nothing, and they said, hey, come work for me in the vineyard, and at the end of the day, I'll give you what's right. I'll give you what's fair. And so they just trusted what he said, not agreeing on a specific amount, and they went and they did the work. And so this guy, the landowner, he goes out again. In verse 5, in verse 6, he says, and about the 11th hour, this is the end of the day, the 11th hour would be closer to 5 o'clock, right? And once again, you're talking about from when the sun rose to about when the sun is about to set. And he says he found at the 11th hour, at the end of the day, they were standing idle, and he said to them, hey, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into my vineyard, and whatever is right, you'll receive at the end of the day. So they're just trusting this landowner that, hey, for whatever work they did, they're going to get paid. Now, the end of this is what's really, really important. So pay attention here. In verse 8, it says, so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired, and this is interesting. You really have to pay attention to what's going on here. He says, when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. Now, this is interesting because he's going to pay them in reverse. He's going to pay the people who came last first. Then he's going to pay the people who were first. And when those who were hired about the 11th hour, the end of the day, they came to receive and each one got a denarius. So they got paid for an entire day's work for 1 or 2 hours of work. Then verse 10 says, but when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. So they got the same amount of money for the guys who worked at the beginning of the day that agreed to a denarius at the beginning of the day. Look at verse 11. It says, and when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, am I doing you no wrong? He said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong to you. Do you not agree with me for a denarius? They agreed to work for one day's wages, one denarius, at the beginning of the day. And so this is fair because they agreed. He says in verse 14, take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Is your eye evil because I'm good? So the last will be first and the first last. Now, this is interesting because some translations omit this last part, where it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. But But I want to speak to that for a minute, though, because, see, the landowner is the one who had to keep going out to the marketplace and then finding these people, these idle hands, these men doing nothing, and saying, come on, work with me, work in my vineyard, help me do this work. And he said to all of them, after the first group, he said, hey, I'll pay what's right at the end of the day. They just had to trust that he was going to pay them what was right. They didn't agree on a specific amount. But the people who had the issue were these people at the beginning of the day who agreed to the denarius. They agreed to the denarius at the beginning of the day because it was a logical thing for them to agree to get paid one day's wages for one day's work, right? But they were offended at those who got paid one day's wages for 1 hour of work or for 3 hours of work or for 6 hours of work or for 9 hours of work when they worked 12 hours during the whole day of the Sunday. And see, the owner who represents God in this situation, he said, is it not wrong for me to pay what I wish to pay with? I can give what I have that is mine to whoever I want to give it to. I can give them as much as I want to give them. And there are those they're entitled to more because they've been at this longer. And see, God told those and he spoke through Moses, of course, in Numbers, where we were talking earlier, where they received this great land that was ideal for them and their flocks and all that they had. And he said, but you're not just going to get all this and not go help your brethren, not go fight with your brethren, not cross over into the land of Canaan and enter into battle to help your brethren obtain their inheritance, right? So it is here. The kingdom of heaven, God is telling us, he's saying, look, you have to work with me in order to labor in this vineyard, and I'm going to bless you when you receive and you trust in faith, not looking to what you feel like you've earned or what you feel is fair or what you feel is proper. And here's another thing that's interesting about these timelines. I'm looking at how a lot of this begins at the third hour of the day, at the beginning of this whole narrative here of the laborers in the vineyard. It really starts when, after the first set of laborers agree to work for a denarius, one day's wages, about the third hour of the day is when he sees the others. Well, remember in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 15, Peter, they're speaking to Peter because the disciples had just received the Holy Spirit in a manifestation about the third hour of the day. They were speaking in tongues. And then those who heard them said, these men must be drunk. And Peter said to them, hey, they're not drunk because it's only about the third hour of the day. They haven't been drinking long enough to be drunk. But it was about the same day, the third hour of the day, about 9 o'clock in the morning. And so what you see here is that God is saying, hey, you know what? Everybody else, they didn't agree to a set amount because they could have been paid an asarius. An asarius, these are Roman forms of money, Roman types of money. So the denarius is a one day's wage of Roman payment. 25 denarii would be called an arius. So that would be like 25 days' wages. But an asarius is 1/16th of an asarius. Of a denarius, rather. And so the people who worked for 1 hour at the end of the day, the people at the beginning of the day, they were saying, hey, you ought to pay them an asarius, which is like a copper coin. But there's another coin called a quadrantes, which is 1/4 of an asarius, which is like a penny. And they were really saying in their mind, these guys work one day, you ought to pay them a penny, and we get a denarius. And that would be fair. And the landowner said, hey, wait a minute, it's my money. I can give my money to whoever I want to give it to. And that is an important thing. Now, I want to read it specifically about what God says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. God says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on those I will show mercy. And what God is telling you is, who are you to be judging me? I'll give what I have to who I want to give it to because it's mine. It's all mine.
Yeah.
So those are our
Hallelujah.
That God wants to bless us and is going to bless us. Then we do this work looking forward to our reward, not trying to measure whether we're getting what he promised, the way he promised it, when he promised. That's not our job. We're just supposed to trust him and get to work. Trust him and get to work.
Yeah.
Don't be standing around doing nothing in the marketplace. So you're in the right place to be found, but you should be looking for God to come and get you, to put you to work, right?
Yeah.
In his view.
Yeah.
Because the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few, right? So when God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So when he says the first will be last and the last will be first, he's saying it's none of your business what I pay my servant. Who are you to be judging me? This is not where you try to hold me accountable for what's mine. It's all God's, right? And so it's just really a powerful thing. Yes, when we get excited about what God is doing, and we seek first the kingdom of God, and we seek the righteousness of God, then all the things that the world is chasing, I'm just going to give it. I'm just going to give it to you. And then the latter workers trusted the landowner's promise to pay what is right. And see, what is right is what God decides to give you. Because God says, I'm going to give grace to whom I want to give grace. I'm going to give mercy to whom I want to give mercy. And when
Preach,
we believe, hey, you know what? I'm not worried about what somebody else gets, because what God is going to bless me with, what he is blessing me with, what he has blessed me with is more than enough.
It is more than enough.
Than I would have possibly agreed to at the beginning of the day by leaning to my own understanding. And see, that's the other thing. When we lean to our own understanding, we limit the hand of God. And these guys did that at the beginning of the day because it made sense. Hey, so then again another day, we're going to work for a day. We're good. You know, I don't know that they would have necessarily chose that. Yes, they probably would have. Go work for 1 hour and get paid for a whole day.
I would have showed up. Hallelujah. I would have showed up.
There was no trust there. There was no faith there. But really, that's what the children of God and the children of Reuben were asking to do when they walked to the east side of the Jordan and said, hey, we have sheep. We have cattle. This is a great place for cattle. Why do we even have to go over into the land of Canaan? We'll take this right here. And God is telling you, no, it's not about you. It's about all of those in the field, all of those in the vineyard. And God says, stop running around the title. Let me take you into the place so that you can earn your reward. And it's not about how long you're working. It's about you saying yes and getting to work. And so it's not about when you're saved. It's that you're saved and that you get to work.
Yeah.
You become a part of reconciling the lost back to God so that the kingdom of God can be expanded and God's master plan of dwelling with his people and his people dwelling with him can be realized and fulfilled as a result of your obedience to God as you please God, as you trust God, as you obey God. You're blessed. You are blessed. And
hallelujah.
Know that, you know, it is, we do it for the landowner because he chose us, and then we are helping to find those others that God has chosen, even though it's the 11th hour, and know that they can get the word just like we've been at work for as many hours as we have been at work, and know that God is faithful. God is faithful. It says that Jesus Christ is coming with his reward in his hand. God is sending him back again with his reward in his hand. And the thing is, are you going to have earned anything? Or have you been standing idle this whole time? And when he comes with his reward, none of it is yours. You're going to be in eternity as a pauper because you didn't win one soul. You didn't share the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, with anybody.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be standing in eternity with no crown, with no reward, nothing, watching people enter into and out of the holy city, and you can't go into and out of the holy city, but you're still in heaven now. Heaven's not a bad place. Heaven's an awesome place. But why do you want to be limited for eternity? Why do you want to be in a no reward? For real, is that your plan? It won't be because you didn't hear it, because I'm teaching you right now. I'm telling you right now.
Thanks,
you have a choice. And I pray that the choice is to get to work. So with that said, that is the last being first and the first being last. And I want to encourage you to get to work for the Lord and know that he is blessing you now and in eternity beyond measure. Heavenly Father,
hallelujah.
I thank you.
God, thank you, Lord.
Someone and encouraging someone to do what they've heard today in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Apostle Cook, it's all yours.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You have heard the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Bishop. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that rhema word. Somebody need to hear that. Hallelujah. Because somebody don't understand, don't you know, that, you know, we're supposed to be the kingdom here on earth, you know. But I think somebody got up and moved, is getting ready to get up and move behind this message. I think somebody going to get up and go and tell somebody about Jesus behind this message. Because don't want to be. You know what I'm saying? Don't none of us want to be limited in heaven. We want to be up there with the cherubim and the seraphim and just running all over heaven the way we want to. Hallelujah.
Brother,
you brought that.
Yeah.
You brought that. The one, if you take away nothing else, just know that you are loved by God. And when you are loved by God, you don't got to worry about nothing else. Just trust him and get to work. Hallelujah. Because he's going to reward you the way he wants to. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can snatch it from you. You just got to show up, do the work, and give God the glory. Pastor Vanessa, hallelujah. If there was ever a message, hallelujah, that needs to be filled with prayer, this is one of them. My sister, come on in and make it do what you do.
Amen. I just thank God for that word because it's very, very, it's a heavy word, but I think it, as it pertains to those who are servant leaders, it can be the gas. It can be the shot that we need to get in our place.
Yeah.
And I just thank God for that word. It blessed me too as well.
Yeah.
And I pray, Lord, today, right now, that you replenish and refresh the vessel that poured into us. I thank you, Lord, today for Bishop Carver being intentional about everything that you told him to say and the way that he said it.
Lord,
I thank you, Lord, today that it is not a word that goes over our heads, that is something that we decide to come into agreement with. I thank you, Lord, today that I come against any spirit of fear or any spirit of confusion that tries to rob us of the intent of the word and the heaviness of what it is. I thank you, Lord, today that you call us to maturity, that you call us to what you say unity is, and it starts with us being unified with your purposes first so that we can know how to help and recognize how to carry our burdens for our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes,
I thank
Lord.
You, Lord, today as we serve, that truly that our intent be filtered through this message. Because many times, Lord, a lot of times, you're coming for our heart, what's in our heart.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live in a place of condemnation, that this word will be able to cultivate conviction so that we'll change and grow up. And I thank you, Lord, today for the peace that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and minds so that this word shall be fruitful in the days to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the intercessor, and we thank you for that prayer. My friends, you have, like I said, you have heard the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Bishop Carver set you up. Hallelujah. He set you up to receive the Lord. Hallelujah. Because
yeah.
I want you to understand that it doesn't matter whether you've been in the Lord 40 years or you give your heart to him today. God is still going to bless you with his grace, his mercy, his peace, his joy. You have all access to all benefits of the Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. So right now, if there is someone within the sound of our voices that does not know Jesus in the pardon of their sin, I would like to extend an invitation and give you an opportunity to enter into a relationship with Jesus, our Savior. I'm not asking you to join a church or religion, an organization. I'm asking you to enter in agreement, into agreement with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and make him the leader of your life. And all you have to do to start that process is to simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins, for I believe that you are the Son of the living God. I believe that you came, you died, and you rose from my sins. So, Lord, I commit my life to you right now. Come into my heart and rescue me, save me, and make me what you would have me to be so that I can be with you in all eternity. And I pray it in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, hallelujah, I just want you to know that you can be sure that you're saved. The whole point of the Lord, of God sending his Son here, was so we can be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you believe that with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, then you are saved. Hallelujah. Now, at this time, we're going to bring our bishop back in, because he always has a mighty word for the men, because we want the men around the world to know that we care about our brothers here at Spirit Alive, and we're not going to put them on the back burner. We want them to have a special word, hallelujah, and we want them to be acknowledged. So, Bishop, come, you are ready. You can come right on back in with your word for the men. Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord, Papa Cook. I'll tell you, the word for the men today is faint not. Faint not. And it's going to come from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. And so what this is telling us is we are to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are to endure and carry our cross as he carried his cross, and we are to not be disappointed in our expectations, but to trust God in all things and endure patiently as good soldiers, so that we don't think in our minds and we are not weary in our hearts, but we trust in God in all things, and we allow perfect love to cast out all fear, because fear is contrary to love. And if you're in fear, it's because you are not walking in love. So when Jesus Christ was preparing to be crucified and endure this cross and despise the shame and actually pay for our sin, before then he was in the Garden of Gethsemane in prayer, praying for this cup to be removed from him. But when there was no response, when God said no, he said, not my will, but thy will be done, O Lord. And that's where we have our heart. Not our will, but God's will. So that once we experience and we confront the fear, Then we say no to the fear by saying, not my will, but thy will be done, O Lord. And we don't think in our minds, but we stand as men of God. So that is the word for the men today. Stand as men of God and think not. Thank you for that, Apostle Cook.
Amen. Thank you for that, Bishop Carver. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have had a most wonderful service today. Hallelujah. I have truly been blessed, and I pray that you have too. I just want to thank all of my beautiful Spirit Alive family. We're going to start with all the elders that was in the house, Brother Lee, Sister Terry, my Aunt Linda, my Aunt Nita, hallelujah. Then we had all of our beautiful servant leaders in the house, Apostle Zeta, Flowers, hallelujah. We had Mother Shirley Mitchell. We had Minister Tina Brown, of course, Pastor Vanessa Carver, hallelujah. And we just pray that you truly were blessed by this worship service. We all are praying for you and your family, and we ask that you continue to pray for us. So, let the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Hallelujah. We pray in the name of Jesus that you go in peace, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Everybody in the sanctuary, including you, Minister Adam, your mics are unmuted. God bless you. I want to thank all of you for being here. Thank you, Aunt Nita. Thank you, Aunt Linda. Thank you, Minister Adam. Thank you, everybody. I love you very much. I love you. God bless you. Love you. God bless you. Yes, sir. Love you. Love you, Brother Lee and Sister Terry. God bless you all. Have a beautiful day.
God bless you, Sherilyn. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
All right, dear. Bye-bye.
I love you, Sherilyn.